Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. We are in the middle of our Student Action Summit brought to you by Turning Point USA. I have been plugging it on our podcast, and it is too late for you to attend, probably, unless you live in Palm Beach or Boca Raton or somewhere near there. And if you do, I guess you could come on by tpusa.com/SAS. As you're listening to this episode, there's probably a great speaker on stage right now, and we are right in the middle of it right here, and what a great attendance we have, and we're just having so much fun here. So we got another Ask Me Anything, Charlie Kirk Show edition, so buckle up, get ready to go, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, and make sure you are subscribed. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, press subscribe, give us those 5-star ratings, and leave us a review. Buckle up, everybody. Great episode coming up, live from Turning Point USA Student Action Summit here. We go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I just love doing these Ask Me Anythings. They tend to do really well in the charts. They trend really well, and in fact, we've been doing really well in the top podcast rankings. And so to help us out, type in Charlie Kirk Show and go press subscribe. Type in the Charlie Kirk Show and press subscribe. Producer Connor is here, Producer C, big man Connor. And he's going to help us out here. And he's without his sunflower seeds today. So he seems like he's almost missing something. But what's our first question as we're here live from Turning Point USA's Student Action Summit?
Charlie, Mark from Minneapolis wants to know, what was the hardest question you ever had to answer in a debate?
The hardest question, boy, thinking back, I've had some tough questions. I think the hardest thing I have to do is to defend the free market to people that have been so programmed to hate free enterprise capitalism. They look at the free enterprise system as nothing but exploitation, as theft, and as pollution, and as negative. And so it's a hard soundbite argument to make the case that no, things are actually a lot better than you think they are, that we have opportunity, that you could never imagine, that life expectancy has gone up over the last 100 years. It's harder because when students are so programmed against it, students are told that free enterprise is the worst thing ever, that the free market must be disassembled. That's a really hard thing to be able to communicate to people. And it's much easier to use these buzzwords that have deep emotional connection, such as, capitalism is about racism, it's about theft, and what about the children that are suffering, what about the people that don't have healthcare? That really kind of tugs at the heartstrings of so many people. And I got to tell you, it's a lot harder to go up against that. Now, it's not impossible. We've done a great job at Turning Point USA of equipping individuals and equipping students and equipping patriots with the intellectual ammunition to defend the free market system. And in fact, let's cut to some sound. I remember talking at one of our recent Turning Point USA events about the beauty of the free market and just the short soundbite about how good free enterprise capitalism has been to every single person listening to this podcast. Play tape.
Free enterprise capitalism is the ability to buy what you want to buy, sell what you want to sell, how you want to do it, and when you want to do it. It's the three P's. It's private property, it's profit motive, and it's also personal responsibility. Those are the three things that are embedded in the free enterprise system. And so profit, what is profit? Well, that's the money you have left over after expenses and you hire a bunch of people. And look, the far left, they go out of their way to try to demonize people that have created a lot of wealth. In order to create wealth in the West, you had to create wealth for other people. And the second thing, of course, is the idea of private property. Be able to say, this is not the government's, this is not yours, this is my stuff. Now, the left tries to make it seem as if there's only a fixed pie amount of wealth in the world, and that if someone got rich, they basically went around with a gun and stole that money away. Instead, we as free market believers believe that, no, the pie can continue to expand. In fact, there can be more pies, and there could be an unlimited amount of wealth that is created. This experiment that we're living through right now, since the discovery of the free market in 1776, the same year that our country was founded in a letter of rebellion against the monarchy of England, Adam Smith wrote The Inquiry into Wealth of Nations, and the title of that book is so important because he was asking the question, why were certain countries rich and why were certain countries poor? The natural state of man is a state of poverty. What should be praised and what should be duplicated is not why are certain countries poor. Everyone is born in a state of poverty. Instead, why are certain countries rich? Why did life expectancy double over the last 100 years? Why is it that America has been leading in medical innovations and technology innovations? Why is it that people that have great ideas, they want to go to America to test out those ideas? Well, it's because in the idea of a free market, you can have competition. That's so important that if you have a bad idea, that idea might not succeed. But if you have a better idea, my goodness, you can take a risk. You can employ people, and then you can succeed with it.
And so that's kind of a short soundbite of the argument that we make, but it's a harder argument. Essentially, our argument is, no, things are not as bad as you might think they are, that life expectancy has been going up, that if you make good choices, you will be rewarded by doing those good choices, and that your life will improve. And don't blame other people for your problems. It's so much easier to be involved in victimology politics. It's so much easier to essentially say it's the rich person's fault, it's racism, it's sexism, it's xenophobia, blaming other people for problems that you wish didn't exist. That's such an easier sales pitch. And so those are the hardest questions that I get. But we've gotten very good at answering them at Turning Point USA. And we've gotten very good at basically persuading people around the arguments of human beings attaining the highest level of flourishment imaginable, human beings being able to succeed at levels that they never thought possible. And that is all thanks to the free market system. But when you go up against students, and I was just at Brown University, our Turning Point USA chapter of Brown University. In fact, we're thinking of releasing some of the audio from Brown University because they didn't allow any cameras in, but we got some audio there of me actually going up against some of these apparatchiks and some of these Marxists on the far left that were basically saying, Charlie, you know, it's actually funny. I have to tell you guys this. We'll have the audio of this. One of the recent episodes in the Charlie Kirk Show, you guys can go back in the Charlie Kirk Show archives and press download. Make sure you are subscribed. But I think what was the name of the episode? It was The Truant on the Boat or something. That was before Greta Truant from Sweden got Time Person of the Year, which is a total disgrace, by the way. Unbelievable disgrace. There's so many people that deserve it more than Greta. But we did this whole episode where we read from her op-ed where she said it's not just about climate change. It's not about climate change. It's not about the environment. It's about deconstructing colonialism and racism and patriarchy, something of that sort. And it's so funny. I got asked about the truant at Brown, and even the liberals were laughing when I called it the truant. And when I said, you know, Greta says it's not just about climate change. It's about deconstructing colonialism, racism, and patriarchy. You know what happened? The whole room applauded. They agreed that climate change is just a disguise. And they actually agreed that the argument that we've been making on the right, that climate change is a Trojan horse, that climate change is a harbinger of more government control to come, that climate change is just a canary in the coal mine of decreased freedoms, decreased liberties, more government having more power over our lives. And there's another point I really want to make about that is really important. But I want to remind my listeners, time is running out on Simply Safe's huge Christmas offer. It's their biggest sale of the year. It's Christmas season, everybody. It's Christmas season. I love it. If you're looking to fully protect your home with award-winning 24/7 home security, now is the time to do it. Burglaries spike during the Christmas season. With families traveling and leaving empty homes and expensive gifts behind, this holiday offer couldn't come at a better time. Simply Safe has everything you need to protect your home and family. There's a smart lock and video doorbell pro to defend your front door. All of my property I care about has Simply Safe, an army of sensors and cameras that guard every room, door, and window in your home. Here's something really cool. If there's a break-in, they can give you real-time video confirmation of police as it happens. So what's your excuse? Police respond up to 3.5 times faster. There is no excuse not to secure your house. No surprise, Simply Safe won CNET and PC Magazine's Editor Choice Awards. So Simply Safe will protect your home. It'll protect your family, your loved ones that you care about. Don't leave anything to risk. And they made this special Christmas offer with my listeners in mind, but it ends December 31st. They rarely do deals this big, so now's your chance. Visit simplysafe.com/Charlie. And remember, this sale ends December 31st. Go today to simplysafe.com/Charlie. So there I was at Brown, and students were basically saying, yes, climate change is only the part, is essentially the excuse for us to talk about this. And I admire people that care about the environment. Part of being a conservative is wanting to conserve things that work, conserve our water, our air, the family, religious liberty, conserve the church. But when the left goes as far to basically want to use these big government programs to deconstruct capitalism, to deconstruct the free market, then that is where we must say, this is wrong. We will stand up against that. Next question.
Rebecca from St. Louis is asking, Charlie, what are your thoughts on Common Core and what is the role of government in teaching and raising our kids?
So government schools have basically created a perpetual cycle of poverty for kids in the urban areas and urban cities in particular, and rural areas too, by the way. Public sector teacher unions and government schools are some of the worst institutions that we have in our entire culture and society. And by the way, Rebecca, who asked this question, thank you. All of you can ask questions by emailing us at freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Look, Common Core is a total disaster. Common Core was being pushed by some of the biggest liberal elites. People say, oh, well, we need standards state by state to be able to measure them. Well, first of all, education should not be a federally regulated institution. The Department of Education wastes hundreds of billions of dollars every decade, tens of billions of dollars every single year, so we continue to have failing public schools. In fact, if you look at Baltimore, there are five schools in inner city Baltimore, you cannot find one black kid that can read at fifth grade level or do math at fifth grade level. Not one black kid. This is one of the greatest human rights catastrophes in our entire country. Look, Common Core is only pushing forth more radical left-wing influences into the classroom. So people say, Charlie, well, who do you think should be in charge of people's education? Well, how about parents? How about families? I trust moms. I trust dads. I trust families if they stay together. And guess what? I believe the further and further away the church has become with education, the worse America has become. I think religious-based education was one of the greatest things America had always had in our tradition and our history as a country. The church used to teach morals and values, used to teach right and wrong. The church had very invested teachers. And by the way, the church allowed affordable education for kids all across the country that otherwise would not have had access to good education. And now you have these government-run schools. So here's just a little bit of a talking point. Don't call them public schools. Call them government schools. That's what they are. These are not public schools. They're not actually used by public because most people don't actually get a service out of it. They'll homeschool. And by the way, I'm a huge fan of homeschooling. And I think that people should really consider homeschooling their kids. I'm a huge fan of people sending their kids to private school if they can afford it. I think we need a total disruption when it comes to schools in America. We need school choice. We need vouchers. We need parent trigger. We need kids to have the ability to go to better schools, especially kids in our urban cities. And we need to declare all-out scorched earth warfare on our public sector teacher unions. And now that, by the way, I'm very pro-teacher. I'm very, very pro-teacher. And by the way, if you guys say, oh, I disagree with you, then email us at freedom@charliekirk.com. I'm very pro-teacher, but I'm anti-public sector teacher mob boss. These are the cartels. I call it the cartel. The cartel runs our schools, and kids are failing all the time. I think good teachers should be paid more, and bad teachers should be fired. If you look at some of these teacher salaries at some of these schools, it's absolutely unbelievable. In fact, there's a great website run by one of my friends, Adam Angieski. Go to openthebooks.com. I hardly plug websites like this, but if you guys go to openthebooks.com, you guys can see how much some of these teachers are making. It's disgusting. And so I'm going right now to openthebooks.com. I'm going to type in my old school district, which is District 214. And I'm going to read to you some of these ridiculous salaries that people have. And Illinois, by the way, is such in trouble. Illinois is a disaster. And you look at some of these salaries. I mean, you look at this. 16,000 of 162,000 active educators in Illinois earn over $100,000 a year. Get that. I mean, so you have bad teachers earning over $100,000 a year. Collectively, these highly compensated employees cost $1.97 billion a year at taxpayer expense. This is all in Illinois. 2020 is the latest salary year available from the teacher retirement system, TRS, and then all of a sudden they made it private through a series of lawsuits. Of 928 school districts contained in the report, inflation outpaced salaries in 439 districts, while 481 district salaries outpaced inflation. And you see, Illinois is going completely bankrupt. Kids can't read. Kids have no future. Illinois, if you look at the waste here, in these government-run schools. Did you guys know that $6.8 million in the Illinois Association of School Boards flowed into this union of the Illinois Association of School Boards? $6 million that could have educated kids. So you guys go to openthebooks.com. You can see some of this waste and fraud and abuse. Do you guys know that 5,900 retired educators in Illinois have $100,000 plus annual pensions? This is unbelievable. Collectively, their annual payments nearly equaled $750 million. Illinois is spending $700 million a year on six-figure pensions. 100,000 retired educators on average broke even with their cost basis in 20 months. In other words, retired educators were paid back what they had personally invested in a pension plan within the first 20 months of retirement. That means that it goes negative after 20 months. So you guys can look at this. They do such a great job. Openthebooks.com and government-run schools must be pushed back against. It's one of the most horrible things that's happening to our country. We need total school choice. We need to trust teachers. And we need to be able to push back against the educational disaster that has been happening with our kids all across the country. Next question.
Charlie, there's been a debate raging on Twitter about the role of online porn in our society. What do you think is the government's role in regulating that industry?
Well, first let me say, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle, and this is all kind of started by Matt Walsh, who's a great guy, who works for Ben Shapiro at Daily Wire, and Ben Shapiro will be right here on property at Turning Point USA's Student Action Summit. Any adults listening out there, please consider giving an end-of-year gift to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Let me make myself perfectly clear on this. Porn is disgusting. Anyone who engages in it, I hope you find help. It can be highly addictive, and it is a horrible, horrible thing. I know many people where it's ruined their lives, it's ruined their relationships, it's ruined their marriages. It's a horrible thing. And but really, this argument is more about the size and scope of government and less actually about pornography. So let's just make that perfectly clear. And when it kind of gets to this argument, I always tend to err on the side of individual freedom and liberty. But Matt Walsh is arguing, along with some other people, that they want a federal ban on pornography. So I do think that there should be more laws passed making it harder for people to consume pornography. I think that if individuals really want to watch it for whatever bizarre, sick reason, they should have to go through more hurdles and more obstacles to do so, whether it be identification checks or credit card or whatever it might take. Now, the Supreme Court did rule, I want to be very consistent, that pornography is legal. This was the famous case where Ted Cruz was clerking for, I want to say, Rehnquist. And Ted Cruz has the famous story where he would say that he would basically talk about how the justices were forced to watch pornography and judge whether or not it was pornography or not. This was a very famous case, and the Supreme Court did uphold that with the correct amount of opt-ins that it is constitutional. And so I think it's horrific. I think it's disgusting. It's not a victimless crime, I do want to say. It's not a victimless crime. Where I tend to agree more with Shapiro, though, is do you actually think that more laws in the federal government are actually going to be able to change a broken culture or change a broken society? That's where I usually say no. Don't look at government to try to create good people. Don't look to government to try to be able to change human behavior. Now, with that being said, government does have a correct role to stop individuals from being harmed. And this is where I come in very firmly on this debate that's not talked about enough. Most women, and there's been lots of studies on this, that participate in pornography have been sex trafficked or held against their will, and there's other crimes related. So pornography is not a single point of crime. Usually there's many crimes surrounding the filming, distribution, and creation of pornography. So that's where I think the feds should come after this much harder in a much more aggressive way. But I don't necessarily think that it's realistic or it is the right thing to say that there should be a federal ban on all pornography ever. I think it would create a black market. I think that it would not get rid of the sin that is within our society. And by no way I'm not actually on either camp. I'm actually much more in the middle between the two, and I see it both ways. But my broader point of agreement with Ben Shapiro is that, look, there's only one gun on the table. He said this terrific on his podcast, and I just want to give him a shout out for this. There's only one gun on the table, right? So don't give that power to yourself while you have it, when the person sitting across from you who's the leftist might have that metaphorical gun to shoot your belief system. If you think for a second that if you give the government the power to police speech, and you might say, well, pornography is not speech. Well, I tend to agree with you. I think it's kind of silly to say pornography is speech, but the Supreme Court did say it is speech. It did. The Supreme Court has said time and time again it is constitutional. So I do think it's kind of silly to say it's speech, but it is an act of speech. It is. It's an act of expression. As crazy as that might seem, just don't take my word for it. Go read the Supreme Court decision on it. But if you think for a second that the left won't try to go after our churches, our synagogues, and our religious institutions, you don't know the American left. They will come after us. So I do think that we should give the Department of Justice and the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, more power to go after this. I think that we should have them more enforcement capacity, but I don't necessarily think we need more laws. I do agree in the old expression, the more laws, the less justice. I believe in a shorter amount of federal laws pursued more vigorously with higher levels of enforcement, not more laws that are just selectively enforced. If you have more laws, the less justice, you give more power to the ruling class. So this is what's happened with all these ridiculous laws that have not been used in a long time against Roger Stone and Michael Flynn and Paul Manafort and George Papadopoulos and the people on the left, team left, such as Hillary Clinton, James Comey, Bruce Anelli, they never get any prosecution because they're part of the ruling class. Show me the man, I'll find you the crime. So that's where I kind of, and again, that's a little bit of a deviation from the question, but the size and scope of government argument, I tend to always err on the side of individual liberty and freedom, but quite honestly, I don't have that kind of sympathy for the act of pornography under the idea of individual liberty and freedom. If you're the guy that's marching in the streets that you can have a right to watch porn, I think you're a weirdo, okay? So like, that's not exactly my idea of rugged individualism or the freedom that I think is, the counter argument to kind of make my own argument, well, Charlie, isn't it the hardest types of freedom the ones that need to be protected the most? Yes, fine. I get it. I'm just saying you're not going to win sympathy, okay? It's not exactly the same kind of moral argument when people are marching to the streets saying, I want to be able to homeschool my kids, okay? That's actual freedom. The people that are marching on the streets saying, oh, I want to have, you know, freedom to go to Brazzers. It's like, okay, you're weird, okay? Just stop it. I guess you could have that freedom. Let the courts decide it. Do I think that makes the country better? Do I think that porn rates going up makes America a more moral country? Do I think that the more access to it will make us closer to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Of course not. And so that's why it doesn't bother me that much if there's more regulations about it, if there's more enforcement around it, especially on the creation on it of it. Again, so it's the usage. It goes kind of back. Just go after the sickos in Hollywood that are ones filming this crap and that are holding women against their will and are sex trafficking them into the country. Go after them. I mean, there are going to be 16 and 17 and 18 year old men that are directionless. Make it a little bit harder for them to access it. Make them go through a couple different loops. I think that's fine. And again, if the Supreme Court has ruled on it and they say that that is individual liberty that people must be able to pursue, then sure. But when it comes down to freedom and liberty, if you're trying to win sympathy, don't use this as a way to try to win sympathy with me. That's not going to work. Okay. Especially with most constitutional conservatives, those of us that are Christians. I mean, for people that, yes. Okay. Firearm, totally get it. Be able to send your kid to a good school, totally get it. Homeschool your kids. Right on board with that one. Even if you want to have a 24-ounce sugar drink in downtown Manhattan, hear that, Mike Bloomberg? Totally on board with it. But if you're the one that's all of a sudden trying to say, oh, yeah, you know, we need more access to pornography. It's too hard to get the pornography. Okay, you, my friend, are using the argument for liberty in a really kind of, what's the right word? I don't want to say sick, but it's kind of a, what's the kind? Creepy. Is creepy okay? Is that a good word to use? I wouldn't exactly say that's the best. You know, there's these people on Twitter that are like, I want to use, you can't tell me what to watch. You're right, I can't. But why are you fighting so hard for this? It's kind of weird. I mean, it's not exactly where I would, it's not a hill I would die on. Not a hill I would die on. But again, if I believe in dangerous freedom and liberty over safe tyranny and this false appearance and the false idea that we can have government take care of us. At the same time, though, children should be protected at every single turn. People say, well, what about the parents? Look, parents have no idea what the heck is going on with these kids with these smartphones. People say, oh, what about the parents? You're right. Parents should be doing a good job. Guess what? Black families in America have a fatherlessness rate north of 70%, okay? So there's not two-parent households intact. Now, do I think government should become the family? No. That's what some people argue on the far left and some people now on the right. I don't. But I also believe that if you could show me that you can get porn consumption rates down by 10% by some sort of a porn ban in 5 years, I think that's worth it. I think that's a good sacrificing of freedom and liberty. Over a short period of time, freedom that, quite honestly, I don't really care that much about. It's not exactly concerns me. But yeah, okay, so that makes you a little bit less free, but the country better. I'm unconvinced that actually will happen. Let's just be honest. I'm unconvinced that any sort of federal legislation will be that effective for it. But I do think having some symbolic hurdles and restrictions are necessary for having some sort of moral goalposts that we say, this is not exactly what we stand for as a country. In fact, it's not what we stand for as a country. And the founding fathers recognized this. They understood this. They warned against this. I'm going to tell you exactly what they believe in just 1 second. But did you know Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service? Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way. We love legal. Way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TV, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. The founding fathers understood this. They said that the Constitution will only be as good if there's a good and righteous people, morally and righteous people. I'm paraphrasing, of course. You could look up the exact quote. But basically, the founding fathers knew that some of the freedoms could eventually be taken advantage of by really bad people if there was not a moral code that was underpinning it. And so do I see a culture in total wreckage and ruin in front of my eyes? Absolutely. Do I hesitate to use government to try to solve problems? 100%. Is that an excuse to do nothing? No, it's not. It's just not. So this is a great argument that churches and synagogues and families need to step up even more. But I think that even if it's symbolic, even if it's, okay, you got to go through these two landing pages and identify yourself using a driver's license or a credit card to go watch your creepy, weird pornography, then so be it. But I think even putting those in place I think that if it can reduce the consumption rates a little bit, it'll create a hopefully a better country, because right now we do have some cultural decay happening in front of our very eyes. Next question.
Here's a good one. Charlie, what is the role of the Bible in public schools, and was Jesus really a socialist? That's from Joseph in Pennsylvania.
So was Jesus a socialist? So look, repetition is the soul of memory, and we've talked about this before on the Charlie Kirk Show. I talked about this with my great friend David Broidy on Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN. This clip has gone viral, and we posted on Instagram. It got a lot of views. Let's play tape of the entire clip. Play tape.
By the way, have you heard Jesus is a socialist? I don't know if you heard that.
No, that's nonsense. I hear this all
bad.
The time.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm
happy to debunk that, too.
Well, that's total nonsense. Why don't you do so? Because there's a younger generation that's believing this.
Fact that Jesus was anything except the savior of the world is preposterous to me. That somehow he was something of a working class philosophy in the mid-1800s. Somehow that's what he was when 1,800 years earlier he was dying for our sins and being, you know, a lot bigger than just some sort of political philosopher. Time and time again, a couple points. Time and time again, Jesus Christ was given the opportunity to get engaged in government. He was a much higher calling than that. Think about it. He's one of the only people ever in documented history to have such a widespread impact outside of political government influence. So even if you look at Napoleon, look at Muhammad, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, they worked through the instruments of government. Jesus was like, that's not why I'm here.
Right.
Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but I'm above all of it. Give unto God what is God's. God's dominion is what we're all under.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but he didn't argue for any sort of specific governmental structure intentionally. Number two, everything he called as far as helping the poor, the Matthew 5, essentially, the Sermon on the Mount, the charge for us Christians, it starts and ends with the individual calling, not the collective calling. It's super important that you can't abdicate your own responsibility to somebody else, to some other authority except yourself. You yourself give up your cloak and your tunic. You yourself turn the other cheek. Now, that's hard because you want to give up that kind of, it's somebody else's responsibility. No. You go help the poor individual that needs to be clothed, that needs to be fed, that needs to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
That's a call of individual responsibility. The third thing is this, the parable of the talents. There's a lot of different ways to interpret it, but essentially it's a parable and a calling, and it's some of Jesus' harshest teachings. If you look at the end of that parable, Jesus basically says the failure to recognize this, you'll have the gnashing of teeth and you will burn in eternity. And the parable basically is a challenge of multiplication. And it's a challenge that God has given you gifts and you must try to thrive at the highest level possible and be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and a participant in his kingdom in a way that will make you, whether you're good at piano, you're good at television, be at the highest calling. Now, what kind of system would allow you to thrive and to flourish? Definitely not Marxism and socialism. You think Christians are flourishing in Venezuela? When you can't eat, can you flourish?
No, Jesus was not a socialist. As I mentioned in that tape, and this is something we talk about with our new project with Liberty University, Falkirk Center for Faith and Liberty. And so should the Bible be taught in public schools? Absolutely. The Bible should be required reading in public schools. Now, people say, well, Charlie, there's separation of church and state. Well, first of all, that's never in the U.S. Constitution. Let's just be perfectly clear, okay? You do not have freedom from religion. You have freedom of religion in our country. But I do understand there's people that don't believe in the Bible, but it should not necessarily be taught as the Word of God, which I believe it is, and Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world, God in three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it should be taught as a historical document. Let's just take the Bible from a secular lens. Let's pretend you don't believe the Bible. Okay, you don't believe it to be the Word of God. You don't believe it to be divine. I ask this with atheists all the time. Okay, I ask them, I say, do you believe the Bible? They say, no, I don't believe the Bible. I say, well, what parts don't you believe? Because some parts are archaeologically proven. Like the existence of King David is archaeologically proven. The existence of King Hezekiah has been archaeologically proven. The existence of Jesus Christ has been proven as a historical figure. Now, have you guys ever heard of the Jesus Truthers? Have you heard about this? There's this whole ridiculous atheist movement that tries to convince you that Jesus Christ never existed. Have you heard about this? I mean, it takes a doctorate degree from Brown to believe something as foolish as this. Jesus Christ did exist. We have multiple affirmations of that, including the secular writings of Josephus. Josephus was a Roman historian at the time who talked about who? John the Baptist, who led the way for Jesus Christ, who we have mentions in all four Gospels and was prophesied back in Isaiah, and Jesus Christ. We have third-party corroboration from Josephus, not to mention the testimony of St. Paul, the gospel spreading of the disciples, that all of which ended up being killed for what they believed in all throughout the Judea, Samaria, and the Mediterranean region. But you look at the Bible, 66 books. Now, Catholics are going to give me a hard time for that. 66 books, about 35 authors, more or less. from all 5,000 years of history. Think about that. 5,000 years of history. In fact, we have some tape. I want to play some tape where I said this really well. Let's play some tape about why Bible should be in public schools. Play tape.
It is inarguable the impact that the Bible has had on the world, even in the capacity for solving human problems and analyzing human behavior. The Bible outside of the religious component, and the problem is that teachers and professors, mostly high school teachers, feel like they can't teach the Bible because they can only teach it through a religious lens. Well, no, there's actually some really, really strong historical stories, but there's also the archetypical stories to tell. And the stories of strong women like Esther, the stories of betrayal and greed with Joseph, you know, in Genesis 40 through 50, 52. There's amazing stories to tell young people of how to properly act and how to properly, how to interact in society. But they've completely removed it just on the argument of separation of church and state, which I do believe in separation of church and state, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be allowed to teach the most widespread, successful, and impactful book in human history.
So you have 5,000 years of history, 66 books, 35 authors. Just from a secular lens, take a step back and say to yourself, well, why the heck is Plato, Aristotle, Socrates taught in schools? So let's ask another question. If you're in a classroom, or if you're some family at Christmas, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas, ask your family, they might be all in between, say, how many of you guys are Aristotelians? And none of their hands will probably go up. Okay, how many of you guys are Platonians? Believe in Plato. Okay, how many of you guys are Lockeans? Probably no hands will go up. How many of you guys are Christians? I bet some hands will go up, whether it be at a family gathering, unless, of course, you're in a Jewish family. I don't think hands will go up, but they're Jewish. The point being is, in our schools, and they don't even teach Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle anymore, Descartes, or Hume, or Bacon, or Aquinas, or Augustine, or besides the point. But let's pretend they do. Let's pretend they teach the Western canon, okay? We teach, in most respectable universities, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, but there's no modern-day followers. I mean, there's some incorporation. I mean, you could argue that some parts of the Catholic tradition came from Aristotle. You could argue that Ayn Rand derived some thinking from Aristotle. You could argue that Rousseau derived some thinking from Plato. Yet the book that has had the most influence on modern-day morality and self-identification of philosophy, the Bible, is the book we don't teach in our public schools. So let's just remove the fact that it is the Word of God. Let's just remove that from the conversation and let's just say it's a historical document. There's some pretty cool stories in the Bible. I mean, we're teaching our kids about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. Okay, well, guess what? The rise and fall of the Roman Empire went straight through the Bible. Like, there was a highway lane of the Roman Empire straight through the Bible. Julius Caesar died about 60 to 80 years, you get the fact check, but right in the same window of time before Pontius Pilate was governing over Judea and Samaria. I mean, and it says it straight in the Bible. So if you're big into history, I'm a big history guy. So the left always like to say, we're big on history. All their professors wearing bow ties at these elite schools. We're big on history. Yet you don't teach the most important historical document ever to exist, whether it be the Law of Moses, which has instructed our moral code all throughout the West, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ruth, who was a Moabite and became part of the Jewish people and the Israelite tradition. There's so much rich history here. You go through 1 and 2 Kings, which have been proven to be correct. Do you know there's never been one archaeological finding that has ever contradicted the Bible? Do you know that? There's never been one archaeological finding that has ever contradicted the Bible. Only affirmed the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the perfectibility, that's the wrong word, the perfection of the Bible. And guess what? 99% of all archaeological digs have not yet been done. So I can't wait for the authenticity of the Bible to continue to be proved. So that's just historical. Let's go to the next level down. Influence and impact. You guys ever hear the phrase, the early bird gets the worm, or tell the truth, or honor your mother and father. Where do you think all these isms that we use in our society come from? The Bible. How about turn the other cheek? Or treat others the way you want to be treated. This all comes from the Bible. You'll find no book ever that has had such an impact on humanity. So I got to tell you something that's just really been weighing on me. I went to church recently, and I'm not going to say where or when. And someone's going to listen to this, and they're going to email freedom@charliekirk.com and be able to tell me exactly where it is. So I'm not going to single out this church. I was traveling, and amazing worship. And then all of a sudden they say, well, tonight's movie, we're going to be watching The Muppets, Ebenezer Scrooge. I'm like, I'm at church. What the heck's going on here? So they're watching Scrooge, The Christmas Carol, whatever, by Charles Dickens. It's a nice piece of literature. Fine. And then the pastor comes up every 20 minutes and has one Bible verse for 90 seconds, talks about it, how it ties into the movie. And then he goes back to the movie for 15, 20 minutes. And this goes on for like an hour. No sermon. Instead, it's the watering down of the Christian gospel. And I got so irritated, as you could probably imagine, because the Bible is the most magnificent book ever to exist. And there they are using this movie trying to connect it. You never need to water down or cheapen the Bible. It is the Word of God, and it will be timeless as human beings go for the next 1,000, 5,000 years, as long as God keeps us on this earth. And so from a moral standpoint, you've never had a book have so much influence as the Bible. So then ask the question, here's a really good question to ask. What human being has had the most impact on humanity? Show me a singular human being. It's not even close, by the way. It's like, not even close. I mean, if someone will say Napoleon or Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Confucius, I laugh at them. It's Jesus Christ. It's not even close. Most followers to this day, most impact on our moral code and tradition, most civilizations inspired by his teaching, most quotable, most notorious, all of it. So you're trying to tell me a book that has 5,000 years of history from things that we know actually happened. King David, the destruction of the temple, King Hezekiah, the destruction of the temple, Roman rule over the region, the census that happened at the time, which of course Mary and Joseph came to the region. They came, and then they eventually went to Nazareth and raised Jesus, and he grew up in Galilee on the western side of the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum. All this we know to be true. And you could debate the miracles, and I'll be happy to debate you, the miracles and how God actually did do miraculous things, and Jesus healed the sick and cured the blind and drove out demons. Happy to talk about all those sorts of things. But so you're trying to tell me a book that also has the most important person ever to exist. And so you ask yourself a question, well, who's the second most important person ever to exist? Well, I don't know. How about the person that gave us the moral code before Jesus? How about Moses? Moses was like unbelievably important. He drove the Jews out of slavery in Egypt. Did you know that the anti-slavery movement in America was drawn as a parallel to the story of Exodus, the second book of the Bible? It goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, which is known as the Torah, the core part of the Jewish Bible. And so this is the one thing we decide not to teach our kids. No. We'll teach them about drag queen story hour or transgender nonsense. We'll teach them about all these 20th century thinkers that think they got it right. We'll teach them the nonsense we're teaching our kids. It's garbage. Climate change, they're learning about the truant. But the one thing that we refuse to teach our kids is the Bible. There's one more point I want to make about this. But boy, what a great weekend for football we have coming up. We got Buffalo at the Patriots. I like this Buffalo team. I like them a lot. They had a great win against the Steelers. Go Buffalo. I think Buffalo is going to upset New England at New England. They're going to come ready to play. Big picks. Big picks here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Of course, this is brought to you by our friends, betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code podcast1. Betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code podcast1. We got Rams at the Niners. I like the Niners. We got New Orleans at Tennessee. I like the Saints. Go marching into Nashville and win. Kansas City at Chicago. Bears are not looking good for playoff hopes. Patrick Mahomes, not a fan, but I think he'll win. Green Bay at Minnesota. I think that's the Monday night game next week. I think that's the Monday night game, either the Sunday night game. But I like Minnesota's playing for their playoff life. They're pretty good. I like Minnesota to win that game. Kirk Cousins still the quarterback? Well, then go Vikings. Kirk Cousins, a great Christian, great guy. Met him a couple times. So get in on the action right now. BetOnline.ag. We got the Ducks on the Rose Bowl, so keep your calendars marked the day after New Year's Eve, which is obviously New Year's Day. There's a name for that. It's called New Year's Day. Six big bowl games on New Year's Day. My favorite day of the year is New Year's Day. My phone has the least amount of activity. I just watch college football all day from like 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. I watch college football. And if you guys think you guys know what you're talking about when it comes to sports, go to betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1. And so the Bible, for whatever reason, is that book that we don't teach our kids. Why is that? Because the secular left has taken over everything when it comes to government-run schools and come to our culture. The Bible should be taught in every single school across the country. In fact, it should be a requirement. Don't teach it as a religious book. Don't teach it. You don't have to. I mean, I hope eventually that happens. But just teach it as, hey, this book exists. We act like this book does not exist with our kids. We act like this book is somehow just, oh, we can't tell you that this exists. Wait a second. First of all, they're learning the Quran in some schools. Look up some examples of Quran in public schools, okay? They're learning the Quran. They're learning this moral relative nonsense garbage. They're learning these kids are more miserable than ever. And if the word of God was actually given an entry into public schools, imagine how much better of a country we would have. Imagine if kids would actually start to read it and internalize it and be tested on it and understand what's really in the greatest book ever to exist in the history of the world. And for those of you that might not believe me, I'm going to read right here. A controversy that was brewing in Chapman, New Jersey, began with a simple cartoon shown to students that taught the five pillars of Islam. The first pillar means to believe in God, and he is only God, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger. A homework assignment followed in which two mothers said their children had to fill in the blank of the sentence about Islamic belief system. There is no God, but blank and blank, blank is his messenger. Are you kidding me? Is the correct answer to that. And yet they will not teach the Holy Bible, the Holy Christian Bible, to our children. I read the King James Version. I encourage you to do the same, and it is very disappointing. We'll take one more question.
Charlie, Michelle wants to know, how do we not lose the next generation? All these polls are showing that young people favor socialism and Bernie Sanders. Have we already lost them? Is it too late?
Look, here's the thing. Yes, college students by and large are flocking to socialist policy of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. In fact, 22.5%, according to a new poll, Axios College Reaction poll, choose Sanders. But President Donald Trump sits in second place. It's amazing. With 17%, only 5% behind Sanders. I'm telling you, there's so much enthusiasm behind this president. He's creating jobs, cutting regulations, making America great again on every single front. So no, we have not lost them. And that's why the work we do at Turning Point USA to educate students, we're a 501c3, we strictly stand on education of students around the values of the U.S. Constitution and conservative values. And we're making a difference, and it will mean the future of our country come 2020 if we don't keep fighting to win the battle of ideas in college campuses. But let me tell you, when I visit these campuses like Brown, when I visit these campuses all across the country, I find that students are not opposed to our ideas, it's that they've not been exposed to them at all in the first place. Students need to hear the other side. We need freedom. We need freedom of expression. We need freedom of speech. And these things that once we have them, students will gravitate to our view system in much greater numbers. But I will tell you this, that we have to ramp up our efforts. And that's why what we're doing at Turning Point USA is so important. We need more students. We need more followers than ever before. And the left, they're winning on a lot of different fronts, I'll tell you. And if we do not stop their rise, this country will soon become unrecognizable. But I'm an optimist. I always have been. And that's why the work that we're doing on campus, I think, is so critical right now. I'm an optimist because I see students starting to open their eyes to our view system, starting to hear the other side in ways that I never thought possible. And if America is going to continue to be the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world, we have to continue to educate students around these ideas. The ideas of free enterprise, American exceptionalism, smaller government, so on and so forth. And so be optimistic, continue to support Turning Point USA and support this podcast through and through. And I believe that we can win students around our viewpoint. Well, this is a great show, everybody. Please type in Charlie Kirk Show, the Charlie Kirk Show, to your podcast provider right now. Make sure you are indeed subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show. Give us those 5-star ratings and leave us a review. We totally appreciate the support of our show and our organization, Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Give us those end of year donations if you guys are looking to help support the next generation to continue to fight on college campuses across the country. And for Christmas, give your friend a subscription to the Charlie Kirk Show. It's free of charge and it's always entertaining. So go take their phone, subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show and say, you're welcome. You are now enlightened, and do it to a liberal because they will really enjoy that. So again, thank you guys so much for listening. This is a great episode. Send your questions in to freedom@charliekirk.com. Till next time, this is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show. Have a Merry Christmas. Talk to you guys soon. Thanks so much.
During the season of giving, we'd like to offer you a little something special, and all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time. We need you to complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and helps support the show. It'll only take a couple of minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastone.study and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 150 people to complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. So please go to podcastone.study, and as always, thank you for supporting the show. And happy holidays from all of us at Podcast One.